award-winning play-by-play broadcast, award-winning sportscast, and the award-winning sports line. High school sports coverage is done best on WRMJ, Farm Country 102.3.
This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free! He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5!
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County! Touchdown, Golden Eagles!
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios, a tradition that began back in 1979. Well, it's been a busy week this week at WMJ. It continues here this weekend, as we call it Championship Saturday, I guess. Hopefully Rockridge can get a win in the semifinals today at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. We'll talk about that in a bit. And the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic last night over at Sherrard, where the Tigers win a thrilling game over Byron by a final of 60-55, led by 8, I think, in the third quarter, trailed by 5 in the fourth quarter, come back and win 60-55. And I guess the first thing I'll say is great crowd last night, and you never know what you're going to get, you know, in these holiday tournaments because of all the different things you're going on. But there's a, and you've talked about it, I think, already in some of your broadcasts, there's a definite vibe with that team in the following, and especially when they play in that building, and it was good to see that last night.
Yeah, and I think, too, it adds to it when you play like a program like Byron. You know, they're not obviously as good as they were last year getting to state, but that's still a good team. You know, they're young, and they hadn't lost since they've had their full group of guys all back from injury. I think they had won 7 in a row coming to that game yesterday against Sherrard. And just, and I heard Coach Johnson talk about this post game when you were talking with them, like the culture they have there. They just win in everything all the time, you know. So it for Sherrard to kind of rally in the fourth quarter to beat a team and a program like that, I think is a huge win. And just winning games like that and playing teams like that, I think does so much for you to get you ready for February and March, because, you know, to win a regional, you have to beat a team like Byron, as good as Byron, maybe a little better than Byron. To win a sectional, you have to beat a team like Byron or a little better than Byron. So I think, you know, that's a really nice win for Sherrard yesterday. And just another thing I heard you talk about with him is just like the competition level on the floor, how hard both teams were playing. I'm sure it kind of felt and looked like a postseason game with two teams of Sherrard and Byron's quality playing. So it's awesome when you get games like that at the holiday. And I think Sherrard, you know, probably maybe we'll have another game like that today with a really good East Dubuque team. But a really nice win for the Tigers last night. I was glad to see they were able to pull it out.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, Byron lost much of their firepower last year. They were a senior-laden team. But the Considine kid played as a sophomore. And the great story about him in the pregame, now the Considine name is, of course, a football name at Byron with his dad and kind of the heritage there. But he's a multi-sport. He's got a football-playing body, but he's a good basketball player. He got in foul trouble last night. Now, he had two of his front teeth knocked out. And people will say, well, what, it happened? Did it happen playing football against
Montini, because they lost by a point in Montini in the second round of the 3A playoffs, where a lot of people argue that was the best football game in the state played all year.
In the second round, changed the system.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that again in a couple weeks. But he did it in practice, basketball practice. Yeah. And I didn't realize the story that the day he did it was the day of the state championship football games. It was the Friday. So he missed the first two games of the year. They lost to Rock Falls and Sterling Newman Central Catholic. And since he's been back, you know, they've won seven straight. And they're kind of one of those programs I noticed, and they probably do it intentionally. They don't start playing games till December because of, you know, they – and I don't know how many kids – were football players on that team. But the thing about Byron that I like last night, I think Coach Heels is a great coach. And you know, you mentioned that they finished third in state last year, that they play, they're really sensitive about their schedule. They like to amp it up. And that this is a team that, as the year progresses, they're going to get much better. So, I mean, the ceiling is very high for them, and they got good players, and they're young players. They start their kid that averages 20 a game. He's a junior. The Edmondson kid's a sophomore. Hiverly's a sophomore. And then McGow is a freshman, and Considine a junior. That's their starting lineup. They basically play one senior. Now, he hit three big threes off the bench last night, but if we look ahead to 2025, 2026, that'll be one of the top state teams in the state again. And by the end of the year, this is going to be a good team. And if Considine didn't get in foul trouble, I don't know what the outcome of the game would. But same can be said about Carter Brown was in foul trouble all night. And then Ryland Carton got into a little bit of foul trouble last night. And the other great thing about Girard is finding ways to win. And coaches can always talk about that. You commit 19 turnovers, right? Wow. You're playing a good team like Byron. You miss five free throws in the third quarter where you have a chance to extend the lead. Don't do it. One of your top players on your roster and one of the top players in the area had an off night, scored one field goal, didn't score in the first half.
Talking about James Blackwell there, right?
Yeah. Despite all of that, they're still able to win that game last night. And I thought his production, the production off the bench last night, Caden Kelly came off the bench. He finished with seven. And then Aiden Tirana's had 4-11. If you can get 11 bench points each night, you're going to probably win some games. And then I'd say who else had a great game last night who's a role player as a starter is Brody Bender, but he had four key points. And I'm glad I had a chance to see Sherrard play because I haven't – I've seen Rock Ridge play a couple times this year. But kind of seeing Sherrard in their personnel really – I knew Carton and Blackwell were elite-level players, and I know Carter Brown, you know, through junior high and early in his career, varsity player. But man, the Veranda kid, I think, is a really kind of flashy type of player. And he showed that last night. He finished with 15 points, and I thought he hit some big shots, did a good job handling the ball. And, you know, Byron pressed the whole game, right? And then the other thing, they play, you know, kind of smash mouth basketball against you. They really are physical and really press, or, you know, press the whole game. And then, you know, winning that style of game and then, you know, seeing how the officials are going to, you know, officiate that game last night. It was a good crew, Braden Peters and Randy Hollerud and Andy Cooper. I kind of liked how they officiated. So there was a lot kind of going on with that game last night. And I tell you, a great crowd and a great atmosphere for a Friday night, you know, a couple days after Christmas.
So just for you being there and getting to see it, like you said, that was kind of the first couple times the past couple days you've seen Charlie. I mean, how big of a win did that feel like for them to be able to beat Byron? Because like I said earlier, I feel like that's a pretty, you know, big step forward for them getting to, what, 12-1 now, beating a team in a program like Byron. So did it feel like a pretty big win, you think?
Oh, I think 100%. And here's the cool thing that I liked about last night, and I told Coach Johnson this immediately on the post game. So, you know, I've done it for 35 years. I hate saying that all the time. I'm sounding like Glenn Cook now.
Yeah. He texted me during the Rock Ridge game yesterday. He's coming to McClellan today.
By the way, I want to tell a story quick about Jansen Medner's grandmother as it relates to Glenn Cook and Bill Breeden. I want to tell that story, and there's a Sherrard connection to that. And I know a lot of great listeners yesterday, but you're talking about kind of what it felt like. And being over there last night, I thought it was so cool. So The game gets over, right? Sherrod wins a knockdown, drag-out game, 60 to 55. So kids go to the locker room, you know, after the game like they always do, get dressed, come back out, you know, hear from the coach. And as the kids come back out, you know, on the floor after the game, you know, there's still a lot of people, and it's like, you know, yeah, this great cheer for the kids coming out of the locker room. Now, that hasn't happened probably since, like, Eric Lawson maybe played, or, you know, Cody Adams, or, you know, Ray Crawley, or those type of teams, or maybe when Sherrod beat Alleman back in 2001 in the regional championship game at
Jansen
Alleman.
And Coach Jones, right?
Yeah, so they, I think it was, I thought that was a really neat moment. And then the other cool thing, and Coach Johnson, we talked about it in the post game. So, you know, talking to a lot of people over there, I got over there early last night talking to some people, and, you know, they're hyped about that team, and they should be. And I thought it was so cool that I saw Chad Bell, who farms in the Viola area, president of the Mercer County Farm Bureau, and I said, man, it's great you're here. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you know, I listen to a lot of the games, and I'm so mad I missed the Rock Ridge-Sherrod game. I wanted to come over and see this team play. And, of course, he had his two kids. So you love hearing those type of stories, mm-hmm. that are people that are coming back to see this program and this team. And they need more of that, and they're getting more of that. So that was my kind of observation last night. And hopefully they get a big crowd tonight, because it ain't going, you know, I think they're the favorite against East Dubuque. But, you know, that's becoming a pretty good basketball league. And the NUIC, well, you're hearing it at, what, three of the four teams at Workins are NUIC teams, right? Mm-hmm. And this East Dubuque team, I saw they're pretty scrappy. And
Pecatonk and Eastland, obviously, are both really good.
Coach Heels in Byron, it'll be interesting. Byron plays, I think, next week or 2 weeks. They play Pecatonica.
Oh, okay.
And then Eastland's very good. But he said Pecatonica is the real deal at 1A. But, you start trying to size up kind of where you're at. You don't know how legit the rankings are, but you say, hey, do we get an opportunity to play with some of these teams? I saw Manuel play last week. They're the number one ranked team by the pollsters. And the teams in our area, if they want to go to state, that's probably the team you have to beat.
They'll be coming to Harry Hunt Gymnasium for the sectional.
Yeah, Manuel will. Well, and that's one of those teams, you just look at, you know, defending them and, trying to defend them and then attacking their defense and then style of play and then how the game is officiated, I think, will be key too. And that's a long way away. But, you know, it's to me, you know, seeing Rock Ridge play and seeing Sherrod play, seeing Manuel play, I think both of our local teams, can they win? Maybe not, but I think they're competitive enough to have a chance. So I like that. I mean, what I've seen from Sherrod and Rock Ridge at this point, that's, you know, stay away from injuries, and I think maybe you have a chance. We'll see. But, you know, next week, so you got the game tonight for Sherrod with East Dubuque, and then, of course, the next game on the schedule, they get a chance with West Hancock on the extended floor. West Hancock plays in the semifinals today against Macomb. Now, I'm a Jeremy Anderson fan, so I'm kind of partial to them.
Me too. He referenced in our pre, and we'll talk about the Macomb Western Hall later in our next segment, but in our pregame interview with him from the Mercer County game, he referenced the quadruple overtime game from whatever amount of years ago. That was
the Brenton Strokes game.
And playing, yeah, Brenton made a three at the end of regulation, I think, to send it to overtime, and I think Macomb made a buzzer beater like in the second overtime to send it to three, and then we played four overtimes and we ended up losing that game. But so we talked about that a little bit in our pregame interview. It was funny because when I was at my, and this is off the path now, but his Coach Anderson's daughter goes to Monmouth Roseville. So he was at a volleyball game this year. She's a freshman, so I was there watching my youngest sister play, and he walked in, and Brenton was there too, because Brenton, of course, is married to Lexi, who's the volleyball coach at Mirko, and we talked about that game for like 30 minutes with Coach Anderson about the – it was just funny. But anyway, that's – I agree. I really like Coach Anderson too, and I think Macomb can play with West Hancock. We'll get to that in a little bit though. But just talking about – sure, I mean, it's great, you know, the schedule they've played. They've started to kind of amp up who they're playing. Obviously, they got the win over Rock Ridge, nice win over Byron. They get to play a really good East Dubuque team who I think at the next poll will probably be in the top 10 in 1A. And then, you know, West Hancock coming up. I know they play Dixon in the second half of the season. They get to play Rock Ridge again, of course, too. They beat a Western Big Six team in Sterling. Now, they're not – Sterling isn't going to win the Western Big Six, but that's a team that plays that brand of basketball. It's a nice win. So I just really like the way Sherrard is trending. And you know, 12-1 in the season with their lone loss coming to Rockford Christian, who's undefeated in the top 10. I mean, it's been a great start to the year for Sherrard. Just hopefully they can, you know, stay healthy, and I think there's a chance for them to really have a kind of special run in terms of like maybe number of wins they can rack up and hopefully in the postseason make a good run too. So just looking ahead today, I mean, East Dubuque is a solid team. I know Anawan was undefeated and East Dubuque beat them pretty easily. I know Anawan's schedule hasn't been very challenging, but still, I think the Braves were in the top 10 in 1A this week at number 9 and from the AP. So East Dubuque, like you said, I think a pretty solid 1A team. Just what have you seen from them? If you got a chance to watch a little bit of them, just you know, crossover so far this week, I think you said it should be a pretty good game today.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, kind of a physical style of play, and you kind of would expect that from coming out of the NUIC. And it would have been interesting. It's such a bummer that we talked about it on the broadcast. If you didn't have a chance to, you know, listen to the games earlier in the week, but so they beat Princeton 70-48 in the opener, and Princeton is playing without, for people who follow high school football, playing without Noah Laporte.
Also, he's been a heck of a basketball player. Yeah, he had 1,000 points come into the year, and I know for him, if you remember that great Princeton team his sophomore year when they played Rock Ridge, he was a great player as a sophomore on that team. So he's a really good basketball player, too. If any good baseball player plays center field, he's a three-sport athlete, but yeah, he gets a lot of, you know, the headlines for football, and rightfully so. But he's not just like a football player that plays basketball. He's an elite basketball player too. He's All-Stater last year.
Yeah, and so the story about him, so he got cleared locally to play Thursday against East Dubuque, but he needed clearance from, he's a commit to play football at Northwestern. He did not get clearance from Northwestern. He had to meet with their staff, it had been yesterday, and he got clearance to play then yesterday, even though he could have played the day before against East Dubuque. And just watching him play, it's like, now mind you, they played Geneseo, who's had a terrible year and has lost to Alleman.
Put emphasis on terrible.
Well, they have. I mean, so no, Princeton beat them 65-38 yesterday, and you know, I got there maybe midway through the game, and I think he was just having his way with them. And you watch the fluid way he plays, and I tell you, that's another team. If he's back for the rest of the year,
yeah, they're solid.
Is there, and the Reinhardt kid, I think, had 30 in that game. But you know, the strange thing about that tournament is, you know, you look at the, and I'm not here to, you know, bury two programs, but you know, you look at that Western Big Six now in boys basketball. Mm-hmm. So the winless teams at the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic,
yeah,
are the Western Big Six teams. And all I was surprised Alleman lost to Illinois Math and Science Academy. And it was interesting. Eric Hutchins told a funny story about the Illinois Math and Science Academy. When their team came to Sherrard this week to play, the coach said, hey, is there an auxiliary gym I can use? I haven't seen these kids, you know, in a gym since December 3rd.
Oh my god!
Because they've like been on Christmas break or whatever, or they go home because
they've got a lot of like,
yeah, those kids.
Like,
so,
yeah, and he like was saying international students or stuff like that, right?
Eric was telling me how you get in to how you have to get in, and one of the kids normally they only accept, I forget how it is, to gain admission, but this one freshman got like a perfect admission score for like one of the first time
holy
ever,
cow.
And he's told Eric Hutchins, he goes, if we were playing Scholastic Bowl, we'd be the number one seed.
Well, I actually went through on like the IHSA website and looked, because I had never heard of the Illinois Math and Science Academy, and looked at like their postseason, you know, history, and it was like, you know, they had never like won a regional or anything. I'm scrolling, and then like you get to Scholastic Bowl, and it's just like state championship after state championship after state championship. I'm like, yeah, that would make sense. So that's really interesting. But I know somebody said like just like the names on their roster, it's a lot of kids who look like they're kind of like international type students. A lot of like not American names. So that's a really interesting story then. If they haven't played in like a month, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And then the other thing, I know I was at the Mike Hutchins All Day Classic last year. I haven't been over there yet this year for me, but I just know like last year and its first year, and I'm sure it's the same this year. It's so well run. They have the 8-team field this year. They have, and it's a really good field. The top five teams are, I think, all really solid, like we've talked about. They have the 8-team JV field too, bracketed. And I just am so happy that we have like a local tournament that's well run. I know Coach Johnson does a great job, and Eric Hutchins deserves a lot of credit for putting that tournament, helping put it together. Lisa Emmendorfer, everybody over at Sherrard does, you know, a great job, and they do it really well there. So I just think they deserve a lot of credit, and I think, you know, that's a tournament that is going to continue to grow, and I think it consistently probably will have a pretty good field year in and year out. So it's nice for people that are in the area. Like if you want to get out and watch good high school basketball over the holiday week, you could go over to Sherrard and see, you know, like last night was a great game between Sherrard and Byron. And I think today will be the same thing with, you know, Sherrard and East Dubuque. So, you know, if you want to stay close to home tonight, I would go over to Harry Hunt Gym and have some fun with that one.
Well, and you said about the tournament, I think that the putting the tournament on, having the staff there be supportive of it, having the community be supportive of it, and the business community being supportive of it too, I think is great. And they've got that. And I thought one of the cool stories last night, I was talking to Sean Harkey at Benny's Pizza, and his contribution to the tournament I thought was pretty cool, because I said, hey, he's staying for the game. And so he had him and a couple of restaurant employees with him. So what they do, his support of the tournament, he brings pizza for all of the teams.
Yeah, I heard Eric tell me that. That's awesome.
So yeah. I just thought that was cool, especially for the teams that come out of the area, because pizza is such a big thing, and getting that local style of pizza, especially with the tradition and the product that Benny's Pizza serves.
Yeah, Benny's
Pizza
is amazing, yeah, man. So I can't endorse that place enough. We love Sean Harkey and all the great kids that work there.
Yeah, too. So I just, you know, and like I said, getting the business support, and then I think it's really nice about, you know, Eric organizing this and making it a top-notch thing. And, you know, his dad, because I think I said on the air last night, you know, Mike Hutchins would have appreciated that game last night. And I knew him when I first came to Aledo. He was the AD still at Sherrard, and they were kind of, you know, must-see and everything in that era in the early 90s and mid-90s. And that gym was always rocking in the high school basketball era. And I know they have kind of the nice bio on Mike and the program at Sherrard. So, you know, people go over there, and I think most people in the area remember him and know his contributions to interscholastic athletics and education in general. It's nice to see Peyton Hutchins, Eric's boy. He's, you know, sits at the scorer's table, and I believe he must be the official scorer, maybe, because he has the stripes on. And then Eric, of course, you know, great job with the PA.
Yeah, they're very lucky to have Eric Hutchins over at Sherrard. He really cares a lot about, you know, that district and the programs there. And like I said, he's done such a great job helping that. Like, he's, I think, sold a lot of those sponsorships for the tournament, because there's a lot of, like, corporate sponsors behind it. So, yeah, well done, everybody over there. And hopefully it ends well today with the host Tigers getting a big win over East Dubuque to get to 13-1 headed into the new year.
All right, so can I get back to one other connection?
Yeah, and then we'll take a break and get to the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. Yeah.
So when I was at getting some last-minute Christmas items at one of the local retail establishments here in Aledo, in front of me in the line was Janet Hunter, great loyal listener, and her grandson is Jansen Bender. And I said, hey, I said, as Tiger's really good in basketball, have you been able to go to many of the games? And I thought it was great. She goes, well, no, she goes, she kind of sounds like my dad or my mom, but she don't like to drive at night. Yeah. And she goes, anyway, I like listening to the radio more. And that's how I stay connected. And she goes, when I heard Glenn Cook and Bill Breeden were going to be on, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere that Saturday morning. So I didn't want to be bothered that morning. So I thought it was kind of great to hear that type of stuff. And I think there's more I'm not bragging about whatever, but I just think there's more examples of people that they like, you know, listening to local radio, and like they like the product. And, of course, she's directly connected with Jansen and his son's playing. And then, you know, his, her other grandson is up in Wisconsin. And I know he reached – I think he reaches out to you every broadcast, Jake Molberg. And he tweeted at me earlier this week too. So, you know, that's the other thing, the following they have with – you know, these people paying attention. And I guess the only other thing I say is, and it's funny with the one story, and this is what I'm so sad about, the, you know, the decline of print coverage throughout the state of Illinois and throughout the country. You know, back in the day in the 90s, I talked about this a lot with Tom Sigel, the former Rock Island coach, you know, looking at the box scores or seeing the scores in the paper from around the state. Always loved that back in the day, and especially when you're having years like this, when you have two very good teams like Sherrard and Rock Ridge playing, to kind of size up, you know, and have more of an idea how top teams in the state are doing game by game. So, I just look at the rankings, and these have been 2 weeks old, but, you know, Manuel, Benton, Columbia, Williamsville, who was a state tournament team last year, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, who had a good football season. Oh, no, Billville, all tough is in the 2A rankings. Chicago Diet, of course, they played at the tournament at Rock Island earlier this year. West Hancock, Rockford Christian, the win over Sherrard, and then Carlisle. So, you know, getting a read on those type of teams because they're the top 10 and those are the style teams you're going to have to beat. And I think Columbia just lost a game at home a couple weeks ago. I saw on Twitter, they're coached by, played at Roseville High School, Mark Sandstrom. So, you know, it's interesting to follow that and keep track of that and see what happens as the season progresses. I know we have a lot of games to be played yet in this regular season, but I can't wait till the postseason to see what the evolution is there and the high drama games and hopefully our local teams.
All right. We've covered everything from the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic. You want to take a quick break and come back and talk about Macomb?
Yes, we're in the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. I wonder if Dale got any Cardinal memorabilia for Christmas.
I bet he
probably
did.
Probably an Ozzie Smith.
Hopefully
something.
Someone got him a Cardinal calendar.
Yeah. Well, Dale, call me.
Yeah, we can
at
582,
and I'll give you. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break, come back and talk a little bit about the, I've been calling it the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, but it's the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. We'll talk about that coming up. This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
The latest styles from the hottest brands. That is 6140 Run in Galesburg. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run. The Brooks Glycerin 22 and Ghost 16s. The Mizuno Horizon 7s and 25% off Saucony Ride 17s and Triumph 22s. These shoes keep you comfortable every step of the way. Get new kicks at great prices. Available right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands of the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Back on the WRMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Aledo. Of course, we've been talking about the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic. It'll be the championship game around 7 o'clock tonight as they take on East Dubuque.
Pre-game coverage at 6:30 on WRMJ.
All right, awesome. And I tell you, I always love, the one thing I love about the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament is the final day of the tournament, how they do the semifinals and the championship with the other place games on the final day. And it has the feel of the old-time state tournament, you know, back in the two-class system where you played the semifinals in the same day as you played the championship game. And it's great to see Rock Ridge back on that path and a chance to win it for a sixth time. And what an awesome commitment. Yeah, they won it in 2013, and Ethan Happ was the MVP, Brian Heath in 2014, and that's when Metamora got so mad. You need to ask Brian Heath about that when you talk to him. Say, hey, tell me the story about Metamora after they lost to Rock Ridge in that tournament back-to-back seasons. And I remember he was specifically mad that Brian Heath went to the line so many times, and Brian Heath was one of the top free throw shooters in college basketball at Michigan Tech, but man, he was automatic from the line in high school too. And I forget what he was from the line that really set off the Metamora coach at the time. And they were good even then. They had a kid that went on to play at Bradley. Then 2015, the Rockets won it. They go 3 years in a row. And Gentry Whiteman was the MVP. Man, they had some really good players when you talk about
there's a few other good players you're going to talk about that were MVPs at that tournament.
So you look at that, and then Nate Henry, who had an unbelievable tournament in 2019. The Rockets won that year. And then, of course, last year, Landon Bull, the tournament MVP, as the Rockets claim their fifth title. Going for a sixth today. Interesting, and I told this to Alex Johnson, that you always want to see many quality teams that play different styles, and I think it's even better when you haven't really had a chance to play them before. So I like kind of the matchup with Peoria Christian. I know a few times I've ran into them over the last 15 or 20 years, but really haven't seen them a lot. So that's who they're going to play in the semifinals. I was kind of surprised maybe with their first round matchup, maybe margin of victory, and then, but they really took care of business yesterday.
They were in control most of the game with Monmouth Roseville. But talking about Rock Ridge, since they played Moline, they have throttled everybody they've played. I mean, throttled them. They beat up on Rock Falls, and then they've won five in a row in overall, but four of the last five wins they've had have been continuous clock games against Mercer County, Peoria, Notre Dame, Camp Point Central 2 days ago, and then yesterday afternoon against Illini West. And we talk a lot, or at least I do, about the schedule you play being so important and how you really get better by playing really good teams. Teams who do very well in the postseason don't play in bad conferences and slaughter a bunch of teams that aren't any good. They test themselves all year long. And Rock Ridge, it does that. I mean, if you look at the schedule they've played, it has been a killer. Moline, Rock Island, that Diet team who's ranked in the top 10 in 2A. They've played Sherrard already. I know looking at, we talk with Nesta Hoop sometimes. We have to get him on in January maybe on the show. But he does, a strength of schedule metric for each classification. And Rock Ridge has the number one strength of schedule in 2A boys basketball this year. They have the most challenging regular season schedule of anybody in the state in 2A, and that does nothing but get you better. And especially when you have a team of Rock Ridge's caliber, they get a lot out of those games. And something Coach Harris has talked about is, he feels like out of that Moline game, that's really changed the pace that Rock Ridge has played at. He said, even though we lost by 30, it feels like that game was on the schedule for a purpose, and it served its purpose. He said that has made us so much better, and I agree with him. They have looked like a whole different team coming out of that game. And they've just, obviously they're going to be really good with the level of play that, Kunico and Wheatley and Bull have played at for 4 years, it feels like. But I really like how Baylen Lehmans has come along. He's shooting over 40% from three. He's had a really strong year. I really like Wade Richard too, and Chase Wheatley has played really good this week, I've thought, off the bench for Rock Ridge. So the top six they have all been really solid, and like yesterday, it was just kind of a typical Rock Ridge performance. Like, it was like classic Rock Ridge team defense. They were, man, did they look good on the defensive end yesterday. I think I counted four possessions where Illini West wasn't able to penetrate the ball inside the three-point line for 35 seconds and had to take a deep three at the shot clock buzzer. I mean, that's like, you see those are like patented Rock Ridge possessions over this run they've been in when they just play that, you know, typical tough man-to-man pack line defense that no one ever can figure out or penetrate against. And that's what it was like yesterday. It was working, everything was working on the defensive end yesterday for Rock Ridge. And like I said this to Coach Harris after the game too, it feels like we never really talk about Landon Bull just because it's just expected what he does, but man, he is so good. I mean, you forget how great of a high school basketball player he is. And like yesterday, he had 20 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. Just, you know, a typical performance for him. And in the first half, it was 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. And in the first two quarters of the game yesterday against Illini West, Landon had scored or assisted on every field goal except one. So he's just really, really good, and they have a great cast around him, of course. But, and I said this too yesterday, he's, you know, been a two-time All-State basketball player. He'll be a three-time All-State player at the end of the year. He's got a chance to be a first-team All-Stater, I think, and probably should be this season if he's able to stay healthy. You know, he's averaging like a double-double and 4 assists a game. So he is a heck of a player, man, and I'm excited to see what they can do today. I think the top four, and we'll talk about this in a little bit more, but the top four teams over at Macomb are all really solid, I think. And I think that the semifinal game should be decent, especially the championship, I think, should be a pretty good game today.
Well, and you're speaking about Landon Bull, and if Rock Ridge, you know, if they can win this tournament, he's probably would be the, you know, tournament MVP back-to-back years. But again, two games in front. I don't know much about, you know, Peoria Christian, other than they were seeded officially. They were officially seeded too. So what is your take on them? What style of play? What's their personnel look like?
So they play pretty fast, I think. Their best player is a really good guard. His name's Malachi Persinger, I believe. And he scored 23 yesterday against Monmouth Roseville. He's probably going to be one of the top guards that Rock Ridge maybe not sees all year because of the schedule they play, but he's a really good small school player. They beat Monmouth Roseville yesterday 69-55, I think, overall in the season. Peoria Christian currently is 12-3, just kind of looking at their results throughout the year so far. You know, I think their losses have come to Tremont and Hinkley Big Rock in there too. And Cumberland. So, you know, like some of the local teams they've played that we've heard of, they, you know, beat Knoxville, who has had worse than terrible year. They beat Rova Williamsfield by 30, who, you know, isn't very good either. But you know, they beat Farmington by 17, which I figure they'd beat them by a little more. But they looked really good yesterday. Peoria Christian did, beating Monmouth Roseville by 14 and leading by 20 for, you know, a pretty big part of the game. I think they were up by as many as 26. So it'll be a challenge for Rock Ridge. I believe that Rock Ridge is the favorite and the better team. And I think, I mean, if you put like a spread on it, I would say Rock Ridge is maybe like a 8.5. I'd say maybe a 7.5 point favorite in the game.
So you said that the kid that's the top player, Malachi Persinger, I'm assuming he's the coach's son then.
I would assume so. I haven't talked to their coach at all yet this week, but I would think that's probably the case, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a decent run in back because they were a state tournament team maybe in the two-class system back in the 90s when the tournament first moved to Peoria. So they've had some basketball success. And I don't know a lot about kind of their enrollment, if it's all Peoria, City of Peoria kids, or if they get a lot of, because they're a non-boundary school, if they get a lot of kids outside of, you know, the Peoria area or Peoria County or surrounding counties. But then, you know, the other side of that bracket features Macomb and West Hancock. And, you know, West Hancock, we saw them last week. They were down one starter when they played Manual at the Great Western Shootout in Abingdon. And that was a game for three quarters, and then kind of Manuel made the push in the fourth quarter, I think, what, won by about 10 or something like that. But that game kind of hung in the balance for three quarters. What have you noticed about, you know, West Hancock? I would assume they're the favorite. You know, I don't know what the spread would be, but I'm assuming the favorite. And I know their fans, you know, noticing them last week, you can tell when those small school programs have that special year where they think they can make a run, they get the great following, and they had that last week. So are they back to full strength? Did they have the other kid back? Do you know?
They're still missing the one Grodhouse. So they're 10-2, West Hancock is. They've lost to Jacksonville, which was their first game of the season. Then they lost to Manuel Saturday, like you talked about. They're really good. I mean, they're a elite small school team, I think. They've got the Cooper Knowles, who's 6'9". He's a junior. He's a ton in the low post. And he's got, like, the basketball frame, too, where he's kind of like a slim 6'9". And then they've got some really strong guards. They can shoot it. They're just a good small school team. I think, though, that Macomb can give them a game. West Hancock definitely is the favorite in that game against Macomb, don't get me wrong. But the Bombers looked really good yesterday. They were really strong defensively, like they always are. And they're very well coached, too, of course, with Coach Anderson. So Macomb, I mean, we broadcast them, obviously, against Mercer County, and you know, they just completely stymied Mercer County offensively, beat them 58-30. I think Macomb was up by as many as 31 or 32 in the fourth quarter. They go about eight deep, Macomb does, and they just, as a team defensively, they play really strong man-to-man defense. Their players are strong and physical, and they just took everything away from Mercer County yesterday, where there were some really kind of, you know, stagnant possessions. And obviously, you know, West Hancock is going to be better than Mercer County, of course. But I think Macomb can hang around with them. I mean, I expect West Hancock to win the game. Again, don't get me wrong, but I've liked what I've seen out of Macomb. Macomb is better than I thought they'd be because they lost a lot from that team that went to the Elite Eight last year. But, like, Macomb's two guards, Watson and Holthouse, are really good players. And Malachi Conley's a returner from last year. Those are all names that are, like, PTSD names, who didn't miss a three all day in that sectional title game last year.
They
against
played the perfect game,
Rock Ridge. Yeah, 9 of 12 from three. Oh, my gosh. We need to stop talking about that. People are probably getting mad bringing that up. But, I think West Hancock and Rock Ridge are both favorites in the semifinals. And, like you said, I'm rooting for Macomb because I like Coach Anderson, but I'd love to see Rock Ridge and West Hancock play. I think that would be, like I said earlier, just a tremendous small school game in the championship of that tournament. You know, Rock Ridge, of course, the pedigree of the program and the quality of players they have this year, in West Hancock is kind of a team that I know is really good this year and will be really, really good again next year with just three seniors on the roster. So, it should be a fun day over at Macomb. Like you said, I love the semifinal setup with the games at noon and 1:30, and then you got to stick around until 8:30 or 9 to play the championship. So I'm looking forward to today, man. It should be a fun day over at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament.
And what you speak about Macomb, now they made shots last, when we reflect back to that sectional, and the Doyle kid had the unbelievable, and he's playing at Blackhawk this.
Correct. He's teammates with Jace Whiteman.
Yeah, so he had the unbelievable postseason last year. But, you know, the one thing about program-wise with Macomb, that they're always going to be in games because they just stop you defensively. And they don't have a lot of these flashy scores, but they've always defended with Coach Anderson. And, you know, they're the home team today in hosting that tournament. So I think that game kind of hangs in the balance. And, you know, just, again, not knowing much about Peoria Christian, you know, an interesting matchup. And again, getting to play different teams that you don't see all year and getting a chance to see different styles of play, I think that's so important. And you talked about it ad nauseum with the Rock Ridge schedule and what their setup is. And they still play United Township. And that's a team that had, it was basically, you know, 2-point game with Quincy at the end of three when they played Quincy last week. So that's the style of play that they're basically playing the best teams in the Western Big Six.
Yeah, with the exception of Quincy, but
yeah. I mean, so getting that done. But again, the history of the Macomb Western Tournament, And I don't think the balance. It's clear. It's clear this year. The balance of that tournament is out of whack.
Oh yeah,
they're like, just too
I was talking with some people yesterday, over there, and you know the top four teams I think were really easy to seed this year, and I think those four teams are good and good to very good to elite. And then when you look at like the rest of the field, I think the four teams that were in the quarterfinals that lost are all, you know, around average or so. And then the bottom eight teams, with the exception of Canton, I think Canton is decent, but the bottom seven are all, you know, I mean, just not very good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it is. And so you kind of saw that where I mean, there's maybe been two games that have been within single digits the whole tournament. And one of them was, and both of them were games that were like 16 or 18 point games at halftime. So they weren't even really close games. There have been really no close games the whole week so far over there. So I'm thinking today the semifinals should be hopefully, and some like they do the different like, you know, ladders to play for fifth place or play for third. I think those games will be good. But yeah, it's been kind of, I think, a little underwhelming with the terms of the quality of the tournament this year, because it's, I think, probably one of the weaker fields they've had in a while in terms of the depth. The top end is still really good, in my opinion, but just the, you know, like 5 through 16 teams, you know, probably are kind of maybe the weakest they've been in a while over there.
Yeah, and I know when you look at how when this, you know, tournament started in 1952, to 2024, how culture has changed and how people, you know, what they do in their free time is much different. And that's a, you know, a challenge for the, because they have a tournament organizing committee of how they set it up. And so there's two things they want, right? They want some good teams, but they also want fans to attend the tournament. So that means they got to get some probably local schools to participate, and maybe some of those local schools aren't very good. So I know they're kind of behind the eight ball trying, especially when it's a 16 team field, you know, to
it's a lot to find, you know, right.
And with how many tournaments there are across the state, you're competing against that too. And then, you know, some of the programs maybe don't want to travel that far and commit to that type of time, over, 3 days. But, the one thing I do like about the tournament, and I like about like the State Farm Classic, and I know the Sherrard girls are down there and they're 1-1. They lost to Bloomington Central Catholic yesterday, but you know, these tournaments that have deep history, I like that, because like the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament, they have the website, with all the history. Their program's really neat, that documents the history and it promotes the game. I like that. Kind of the same with the State Farm Classic. So I love that, where you can look back and see over the years the different teams and the different champions. And I guess the one thing that always stands out for me for the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament, I want to know about the 19. So next year will be the 1965. So that will be what anniversary next year for the Alito Green Dragon Championship team at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. They won that in 1965. I don't know much about that team because it wasn't 1964 the team that went to or got beat by the illegal player in the super sectional. So I want to know about the 1965. Email me sometime. Somebody out there knows about the 1965 Alito team, champions of the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. But that year, one of the rare years where the tournament MVP wasn't from the winning team. But I digress. You know, like I said, long history of that tournament, and it's great to see kind of the evolution of that too. And hopefully, we have a school locally that will have won it 6 times in 11 years after today.
Yeah, they've been on quite a run, man. Rockridge, it's been one heck of a 15 or so years for them, man. And I know at the station, we're just really lucky that we've been able to cover. I mean, it's really rare that that you have a program like that that's like a 2A school that just is so excellent year after year after year after year. And like, it's just been a real joy and privilege to cover Rockridge boys basketball, and it's no different again this year. You know, I know they've lost four games already, but again, it's just a brutal schedule they've been playing, and I'm excited for today. I think they got a chance to win. I want them to get a crack at West Hancock, because I think they can play with them and maybe beat them. Yeah. So, I mean, that team Rock Ridge has, those kids, they've, you know, I say all the time, they've played teams that are much better than West Hancock already this year. And West Hancock's a really good team, don't get me wrong, but, you know, like, West Hancock has not played Rock Ridge's schedule. So, I hope that's the matchup, because I'd love to see Rock Ridge, how they stack up against a top-tier team like West Hancock. So
now, they've modified the schedule just a little bit. What I've always loved about doing that Saturday is I liked when they, you know, the start time was always supposed to be 9:30, but it was basically maybe at 9:45 tip-off you start the championship. They've moved that up by an hour, is that right? They want to start it by 8:30.
They've tried to move it up by an hour, yeah. So we'll see if that.
Yeah, I love it when they did.
If it's better in practice than in theory, but we'll see if it actually doesn't. If it still just starts late anyway.
But those have been some of my favorite broadcasts over the years. Those 9:30 games down there, just, you know.
Brock Boehner was telling a story. He's still on the tournament committee there. That one of the years when he was coaching at Macomb as an assistant, the evening session, there were four games. Three of them went to overtime, and one of them went to triple overtime.
Oh, man.
So he said it was like, you know, 12:30 when they left that night, because it was just bonkers how long those games took. So, yeah, this year we've been ahead because every game has been a continuous clock game, it feels like. All four of our broadcasts have been 30-point games. So,
well, and it's always interesting, too, kind of the backdrop at Western Hall, you know, playing on the extended floor. And, you know, it's still a kind of cozy environment in terms of, like, college basketball. But it's weird. The shooting backdrops at both ends are kind of strange because there's a lot of distance between the wall in the basket. In shot clock, do you think shot clock's had much of a factor on any of the outcomes of the game?
I've seen, like, three violations. It's, no. Yeah. I haven't noticed much. You don't really notice unless you look for it, in my opinion.
So the only thing I would say about that...
It widens the gap, though, from good team to bad team. Like, when you're the lesser team and you got to play a 35-second possession, I mean, that's part of the reason I think why there's so many lopsided games is, like yesterday, Mercer County playing Macomb, for example, like, that being a shot clock game was not good for the Golden Eagles because, you know, Macomb just is much better. And when you have to... When it you know, accelerates and, you know, adds to the possessions each team gets, you know, it widens the gap, right? The more times the better team has the ball is bad for the lesser team, yeah, right?
100%.
And that's just what happened yesterday when Mercer County had to try and, you know, go 35 seconds, then get back and then play defense again and then try to go and, you know, it's just... Yeah, that's not a recipe for success for teams that aren't as good as their opponents. So that's the thing, is like when you talk about the shot clock, it really makes it harder for upsets, I think, in high school basketball because, you know, the better team likes when there are more possessions for both teams.
And you're right on that. But then I think the shot clock does have an impact when two good teams are playing, though.
Because, I agree, yeah.
Because I was telling Coach Johnson last week, so when we saw Peoria Manual and West Hancock last week. So Manuel was leading by about, what, 8 or 9 early in the fourth quarter, and West Hancock was playing a zone and wanting to force Peoria Manuel to shoot perimeter shots instead of getting to the rim. And you saw Peoria Manuel wanted to basically hold on to the ball and pull West Hancock out of the zone, and they couldn't do it because of the shot clock. So that impacts those type of games, too, strategy-wise. Where if West Hancock has to play man-to-man defense in that whole fourth quarter, the margin of that victory is probably going to be a little bit greater advantage for Peoria Manual.
Yeah, so I like the shot clock, though. I've been in favor for a long time. I think it started that year Rock Ridge played Monticello at the state tournament when they would like have these 3-minute long possessions, and it just is like I always say, I mean, are you really playing the game if you're holding the ball for 3 minutes? Like, come on, man. And I know, like, for the fan perspective, who wants to watch that pass the ball around for 3 minutes? I mean, come on. So I'm in favor of it. I think it makes the game better. And I know, like, if you're not as good, you don't like it, but What, in the immortal words of Brian Dennison, get better then. You know, if you're good, you're good, right? So I'm in favor of the shot clock, and I think it adds, like I said, I think it adds to the game. It makes it more enjoyable to watch. There's more possessions, more offensive opportunities. Teams aren't just dribbling it out. You know, that drives me nuts when teams play that way.
Have you heard that are any of our local schools here going to have it installed this year, or they're going to wait till next year?
Rock Ridge already does. They used it against Rock Falls in a non-conference game.
Oh, that's right.
So
have you heard about Girard or Mercer County? Are they going to get it installed?
I don't know.
This year?
But I know, like, Rock Ridge, I believe when they play Bloomington Central Catholic sometime in the next couple of weeks when they come to Edgington, they're going to use it that game, too.
Oh, I forgot they play them, too. Wow.
Yeah.
That's another great quality opponent, because I saw what Central Catholic.
Yeah, and I know Rock Ridge plays Morgan Park and East Peoria at the Moline Shootout too. Sherrard plays Diet there, as well as the Quad Cities Christian School. Somehow Sherrard got stuck playing them.
This is awesome though. I thought that I saw the Quad Cities Christian School. I'm pretty sure their staff was out there scouting, because I think they play all of them too.
Yeah.
They were there scouting with, because Mark Nestler, the former writer at the Argus Dispatch, is their athletic director, so it was great to see.
I was going to say, don't scout Girard, because they're going to beat you by 80 if they want to. So.
Well, and getting back to that, you know, tournament too, about, you know, where the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament is at, you know, even though it's out of balance a little bit, you know, it's still, there's a great future for that tournament because the school's behind it, the university's behind it, and the city of Macomb is behind it. And then I'll say, I think Girard, they've established something really nice. And when you have schools that are reaching out and say, hey, we'd really like to get into this tournament because of the little things they're doing with it, with the corporate sponsorships and the businesses and the school taking a serious interest in it, I think that they really have a chance to do something nice with that tournament and sustain it in the long run. And then, you know, Eric Hutchins behind it pushing it too, I think is pretty cool.
And then one other thing, why both tournaments are great, they're bracketed tournaments.
Yeah, I love
they're
that
too.
They're
not pool play, joke, free throw percentage, tiebreaker. I mean, jeez. I cannot stand pool play tournaments. I just...
Well, you have to figure out who the winner is on the tiebreaker.
And, like, the Lincoln Trail tournament is the worst tournament in the history of tournaments.
Are they still doing that this year?
Yeah. I just... have always hated. It used to be bracketed, and then like midway through like my high school days, it changed to the most confusing thing you've ever seen. Like even playing it, I'm like, wait a minute, when do we play? Who do we play? And oh god, that is just so poorly. Everything, all of it. It just is. A conference tournament is great in theory, but in execution, in that instance, it leaves. Not just some to be desired, everything to be desired. That's just a weird tournament.
Yeah,
the way it's set up.
So, and as we talk,
and also I've never heard anybody like speak in favor of it. It's also a 4-game tournament that takes 14 days to play. It just is like, oh my god.
Because I think most coaches you talk to in that wanted the bracketed tournament. I'm like, why are they not doing a bracketed
Everybody
tournament?
I've ever talked to doesn't like the format, but it's like, why does nobody ever say, and this is like, who cares because we don't cover it anymore, but why does nobody say anything then? Like, that's the thing I never got, but whatever.
Well, and then it just...
It has a great trophy, though. Great trophy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then just kind of coming out of the holiday, you know, tournaments, that's when we kind of ramp up play. And I always tell people that the interesting thing moving forward is kind of those middle-of-the-pack teams that can end a magical season in a hurry. And there's a lot of those out there this year. And that's what I always worry about when you are having this magical season, but it takes maybe one bad quarter, one bad half, and your season, your 25-3 season or whatever, can come to an end. And there's some middle-of-the-pack teams out there that, to me, are dangerous that you have to worry about. And I think one of them is Orion, and I think they can factor.
I think they're better than middle of the pack.
Yeah, well,
they're
saying,
a good team.
But I'm saying,
yeah,
in terms of a state, because I think out of the break, I think you have especially if Girard wins today, and if Rock Ridge wins this tournament, I think you have a pretty good chance. Both of those teams are going to be ranked in the top 10.
If Rock Ridge and Girard both win their tournaments, I think they both should be top 10 teams in the state in 2A. Yeah,
and then
Rockridge, definitely, because if they beat West Hancock, for sure.
Well, and it'll be so.
And then Sherrard has beat Rockridge, right? So then, in theory, they all and have lost once, and they've and it was like in the Thanksgiving week. So yes, I agree that before the next rankings come out, though, Sherrard plays West Hancock, and I think they would have to beat them too to get in the top 10 as well.
So isn't it interesting though that West Hancock, their back to back games potentially are going to be Rockridge and Sherrard?
Yeah. That's good, man.
And then
that's good for them too. I mean, I'm sure they're happy about that.
So that's pretty awesome. Then next week, then out of the break, because you get right back to it out of this holiday tournament where Rockridge plays United Township, and that's such a great storyline with Coach Say and Coach Whiteman there, and coach those kids, and then you have West Hancock and Sherrard. And I'm so bummed though that game's at Carl Sandburg. I wish they would move it to like Knoxville High School or something like that where the game could be played, because I don't know how many people will fit in. And that's a weird start time, like a 4 o'clock or something like that, right?
Yes. So it's funny because there, and this is one other thing and then we need to wrap up, but there is going to be at that shootout, 3 radio stations there at Carl Sandburg. And I know they like set you up like in the corner on the baseline. So they'll, I mean, cause I know going, John Temple and the, WRAM is going, and WMOI, and then the Carthage station as well will be there to cover
awesome.
The West Hancock Titans. I was talking to them yesterday too, so yeah, that'll be tight quarters over there.
Yeah, I remember the 1 year I went there and did a game, and it was either Chicago Leo or Hills Franciscan was there, and I was set up near them, and one of the moms came up to me and she goes, "You guys do radio for high school games?" And I'm like,
amen. Yeah, yeah, we do.
That's so awesome. So anyway, yeah, so get out and support, you know, some, you know, if you travel today, Macomb is an easy trip to get down to Western Hall. I just love the setup of that tournament. I love the Macomb community doing that. That's why I've always said I wish they were in the conference with us still, because I've always loved it's an easy trip to get there. And then, you know, if you're in the area and want to see Sherrard play, and I know I'm talking about the NUIC basketball with Brian Roosh coming up, but, man, you hear so much attention about that league in football, and deservedly so. There's a website for it, and everybody talks about
it. Kyle Campmeyer, he's the man.
But I'm telling you, NUIC basketball is pretty good, too. So when are they going to get a NUIC basketball?
Well, he started a NUIC All Access coverage where they cover everything. But he texted me, Kyle, real quick, who does a great job covering that whole conference. He does incredible work, and I've got to know him through some of our football coverage. But he texted me yesterday because he was looking. So I'm an AP voter for both boys and girls basketball, and so he texted me. He's like, yeah, Ty, I saw you voted Peoria Notre Dame number one in girls basketball. He was somewhere where they were at. He's like, I just saw them come on the floor, and he's like, oh my god! I'm like, yeah, they're pretty good. So anyway.
Oh, can I say one other thing about the Sherrard tournament? I thought it was really nice, and I thought it was awesome. Coach Heels really complimentary because he knew Coach Seedam, who was at Byron for a short time, said a great coach, and said it's so awesome. He's at Mercer County, so I thought it was cool that
he mentioned
him. So, and then he was talking about and it was cool with Matt Heels because he really wanted to know about the area. And, hey, how good's Rockridge again this year? And he said, what do you know about Riverdale? I see they played Sherrard to a 2-point game. So I love having those kind of conversations.
Well, Riverdale, I think, is in there. They might be in the same subsectional as Byron.
Is Riverdale done? Are they in the semifinals?
No, they got beat by Forreston. They went 1-1. Orion, though, is. Orion went 2-0. They beat Morrison, and they beat Kewaunee in overtime.
And Orion's got Galena, or who are they playing?
Play Galena, correct.
So interesting, and then Forreston.
They'll play, you know, two teams that are out of the area, which I like about holiday tournaments. So it'll be interesting to see how Orion and Galena they match up today. So
yeah, and then that's weird how that tournament's set up where it carries over to
Monday. But whatever.
It is what it is, right?
Right.
All right. So what's the broadcast schedule? What time Rockets play?
Noon with an 11:30 pregame, and then 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip off for Sherrard and East Dubuque, and then if Rockridge advances to the tournament championship, that's an 8:30 tip off, and we'll basically roll right from Sherrard into the Rockridge game. So,
all right, well, a full day of basketball and a full week of basketball, and we will take a break, come back with a segment with Brian Roosh, and then call it a day and get ready for high school hoops. This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
Award-winning play-by-play broadcast, award-winning sportscast, and the award-winning sports line. High school sports coverage is done best on WRMJ, Farm Country 102.3.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
The latest styles from the hottest brands. That is 6140 Run in Galesburg. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run. The Brooks Glycerin 22 and Ghost 16s. The Mizuno Horizon 7s and 25% off Saucony Ride 17s and Triumph 22s. These shoes keep you comfortable every step of the way. Get new kicks at great prices. Available right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Alito. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And for so many years, I've been hearing what a great football conference the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference is, NUIC. And, of course, deservedly so, they are a good football conference. But, man, I've been watching basketball kind of in the region here in the 2024-2025 campaign, and I know locally near us at WRMJ got a chance to see East Dubuque play this week there in the Mike Hutchins Holiday Tournament field over at Sherrard High School. I was impressed with them. I've heard so much about Pecatonica, and then Eastland, a very good team, and I think Pecatonica appears to be the favorite in that league with their big win over Eastland recently, and then, you know, coming off the great run with Scales Mound in the NUIC going to the state tournament. How is this becoming a basketball league up there in the NUIC, Brian Roush?
You know, Jim Taylor, I think it is. I think that it kind of flies under the radar, but you look at the successes that they've had, and, you know, Peck lost a very tough game last year to Aurora Christian at the Super. But, yeah, I think it's a basketball conference. You've got some great coaches and great players up here. Obviously, some, you know, great fans. And I think Scales Mound kind of led the way and said, hey, we can break through and make a statement on the state stage. And having watched Peck match up against Eastland, and the Cougars have lost a couple straight, but watching that game, I'm not sure how many teams in 1A can match up against the depth and the talent of Pecatonica. Boy, are they good.
And then I was, you know, I've talked to a couple of coaches in the area, and they said, well, I'm maybe not surprised by the outcome of that game. Again, I think it was a 30-point differential or something like that when Pecatonica won over Eastland. But I think the margin kind of surprised people. Was that true with you?
Absolutely. It was a 14-0 run to start the game for Peck, and they never looked back. And in the second half, because, you know, in tournament play, they had a running clock. And it's like, if you would have told me that a team that was in, you know, the top spot in certain polls would have a running clock put on them, I would be shocked. And I think that, you know, obviously there's chances that they'll meet again this season. And I don't know if that'll be the case, but again. But wow, what a statement by Pekka-Tanaka.
Now, will they do they play in the regular season again, or they'd have to wait until the tournament to meet again?
Well, that's a great question. They do not have a regular season matchup, but they had three opportunities to face off. They each got to the championship game of the Eastland tournament. They would have had a chance at the State Farm Classic, and then they have an MLK shootout, a really top-notch event at Pekka-Tanaka in January, and there's a chance they could meet there, like in the championship game. And I think that would be a great test for both sides in, you know, the middle of January. And then, obviously, people are looking at the sectional and saying, hey, there's a strong possibility, although there's some really good teams that will be in their way, that they could meet there in, like, a sectional final. And I think, if I've heard correctly, Pekka-Tanaka, which has a great facility, is hosting that sectional.
Oh, wow. And then, you know, I would think, you know, watching East Dubuque play, that's a team that can get you too. They look like they got some pretty good talent, and they're going to be a thorn in the side of many teams up in that area. And that's the thing, you know, we talk about how football has become such like a conference tournament, the north half of the 1A bracket. You know, we say, you know, it's basically all NUIC teams. But you look at a sectional complex where you're at, I'm assuming it's kind of a basically a conference tournament format where if it's Pekka-Tanaka, they're going to probably have to beat who, Eastland or East Dubuque to move along into the season.
Right, yeah, and I think there's a handful of teams that could be, like you say, a thorn. You know, you've got Galena, I think, a team that's a little undermanned, but they've got great, you know, talent in their starting five. You've got Lena Winslow with great athletes who really they're kind of handicapped because they're always coming off football. They don't hit their stride till mid-January. And so, yeah, I think you could see some really interesting, you know, play. And then just outside of the NUIC, you've got South Beloit. Maybe they're not the most talented team, but they've got the best player in, you know, Northern Illinois, and Ross Robertson, a guy that's going to Northern Michigan, a D2 school on scholarship. But, yeah, it's going to be a very fun postseason up here. Not to get ahead of ourselves, we're not even into the conference season, you know, in full bore yet. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. And if you get a chance out there to see Pekka-Tanaka play, I would highly recommend it. They just come at you. And they're very entertaining, Jim. They've got the Bench Mafia. And if I have just a second to share this, the Bench Mafia is, you know, patterned after those NBA teams where they react to everything and whatever. In the championship game, Coach Heisler pulled out his starters at the end, and they all went to the end of the bench, and they became the Bench Mafia. And I thought that was awesome.
That is
yeah.
Great. All right, so I was going to ask you then one football question then. Are the dominoes waiting to fall? Did I read it right that Dupec's officially leaving the football NUIC conference, going to go to the Big Northern? And what does that mean for the future then of, I guess, NUIC football? Do you think another school will come in, or is it too early to talk about that?
You know, I think that likely they'll come in with another school, but it just seems like maybe like geography is going to impact that. You know, I think Erie Prophetstown's been a school that's been talked about, but, you know, right now I think they're going to just, the schools are going to react to the loss of Dupec, and I mean this in a positive way. I think most of them football-wise are glad to see him go because it's a 3A school, I mean a 3A, you know, co-op, and you really have a hard time competing numbers-wise with something like that. So they're like, hey, let's kind of get back to that 1A, 2A core of the conference. But now you'll have a chance to maybe, you know, have a non-conference game in there. And I think what's nice about that, or maybe have two, is when you beat up on each other, you might have some teams up here that are 4-5 that if they weren't playing the NUIC competition every night, if they had a non-conference game here or there, they might not be 4-5. They might be, you know, 6-3 and have a chance to go. And I think the conference, you know, representation is thinking about that deeply.
He's Brian Rouge at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
The latest styles from the hottest brands. That is 6140 Run in Galesburg. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run. The Brooks Glycerin 22 and Ghost 16s. The Mizuno Horizon 7s and 25% off Saucony Ride 17s and Triumph 22s. These shoes keep you comfortable every step of the way. Get new kicks at great prices. Available right now at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
It is the WMJ Sports Line from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Dale Jones, do you want a Cardinal calendar? Let me know, and we'll get one for you as we get set for a full day of holiday hoops basketball coverage. Hopefully, two tournament titles will broadcast today, but Rockets got to take care of business coming up in the noon hour against an interesting matchup taking on Peoria Christian. We'll have Sherrard Tiger Championship basketball against East Dubuque coming up at around 6:30 tonight from the Harry Hunt Gymnasium along County Road NN. Anything else, Ty Taylor, on this Saturday?
I'm ready for basketball. Should be a fun day today.
All right. Drive within the speed limit down US 67 right to Macomb Western Hall. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.